Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
G&D on the Fan. Every day we come your way thanks to the law firm Kondori and Murad, estate planning, elder law, real estate transactions, probate administration. Their attorneys are always there to protect you and your family. Schedule a free consultation with their team today at kmlawyers.com. Mention us, get a discount. That's kmlawyers.com. Somebody's winning Caps tickets right now. Let's go caller number 10. At 800-636-1067.
You're going to win two tickets to Capitals versus Detroit Saturday, December 20th at Capital One Arena. It's the holiday season. Spread holiday cheer when the Capitals face Detroit at their annual Caps Holiday Party. Details at thefandc.com/contest.
A lot to get to in the Blitz. We'll cover the NFL, the Commanders. Let's start on the diamond, though, the Nats, the winter meetings. There's a lot going on, so let's get to it. Andrew Golden covers the Nats for the Washington Post. Andrew, let's start with the big trade from this weekend. Jose Ferrer, the best high-ceiling back-end reliever in this bullpen, moved with a ton of control as a power lefty for a top 100 prospect in the industry and former number 12 overall pick, Harry Ford, who was a top 5 prospect for the Mariners. What'd you think of the trade?
I thought the trade was great. Like I think the reality is the Nationals had the worst catching core in all of baseball last year, and you needed a guy with the potential to be an everyday player there, or at least a guy who can make an impact there. So I love the trade. Like, I think Jose Ferrer is a really great player. I think he's a potential to be a really good closer, or, you know, high leverage guy. But I also think, like, if you're looking at when is the team going to be competitive again and, like, what can help a team over the next few years, I think that Harry Ford being in that role is more beneficial than Jose Ferrer being there now. So I like the trade. I also like the trade for both sides. I think it will help Seattle a lot too. And so I think it's a good deal.
Andrew, what do we know about this staff that's now kind of, you know, slowly but surely being assembled, but mostly at the on-field level, right? The C-suite, the guys are still sort of figuring it out. But, you know, we got a bench coach, field coordinator, hitting coach, et cetera. Give me kind of a theme or some things that stand out.
Yeah, I think the first thing is, I think the youth, right? I think Blake Gutierrez talked earlier. He's like, yeah, like I know the staff is very young. It was not intentional. It's just kind of how it came together. But I think you've got a lot of guys from a lot of different places, a lot of different backgrounds, and a lot of different teams, which I think is unique, right? It's like you have guys from different places who have seen different things. The hitting coach obviously comes from the Orioles and the Twins last year. He was let go. The pitching coach is like 29. It was with the Reds. And so I think there's a lot of variety there. But I think a lot of guys who have, you know, a technical background have the ability to kind of, you know, be able to help aid this team with the, you know, new use of technology and things of that nature, and can speak different languages and help the guys develop and grow. And so it's been a good staff so far, but it all kind of remains to be seen how the season plays out.
Andrew, what is the chance, what would you set it at, that Mackenzie Gore gets traded, 1 out of 100? And then same question for C.J. Abrams.
Yeah, I would say Mackenzie, I give it like a 40-50% chance, and then CJ maybe like a 20% chance. I think there's reasons to do both. I think McKenzie to me makes a little bit more sense, just in the sense of pitching injuries. You never know how those things will transpire, and you don't know when the value is going to be the highest. And there's a lot of interest for McKenzie Gore, and so I think it'd be smart to trade him. I think C.J. Abrams, I think he still has another level that he can reach, and I think that the Nationals probably get that out of him. And so if it was up to me, I would probably trade McKenzie and hold on to C.J. But nobody's asking me. That's just kind of my opinion.
What if they did? What if, like, Paul DeBoney sent you a text? But on that front, Andrew, what would those trades signify? Like, if one or both ends up happening, what would that kind of mean? Just, again, big pictured for me. Is it, sort of where they are in the build? Is it they don't think those guys were going to stay here? Is it they don't think, C.J. Abrams is going to reach that next level? Like, what would a trade of those that magnitude for one or both those guys mean?
I think it kind of signals that the Nationals are kind of starting over in some sense. That's at least how I sense it. I think those are two guys that you thought would be potential significant pieces of the rebuild, right? And obviously the rebuild has not gone exactly the way they expected this past year. And I think trading one or either of those guys signals that they think it's going to take a little bit more time. And I think if you guys read Paul's letter yesterday that he wrote, I think he's acknowledging this might take some time to figure all this out. And so that's what it signals to me. But we'll kind of see how it all plays out.
Yeah, go into that if you don't mind. For people that didn't see it, Paul DeBoney wrote a letter to fans. He says, to our fans in our city. What were some of the takeaways you had about it?
Yeah, I think it's not like this is going to take a lot of patience, but he wants to be transparent about where the team is going. And I think that's something that fans will appreciate. It's one thing to paint a message and give an idea of what you want to do and not live up to it, but it seems like he's supposed to be very transparent about it. And so, it remains to be seen how that all plays out. Like, it's one thing to say it, but he has to back it up. And I think that he intends to. And so I think only time will tell whether he actually does,
Andrew, good to talk to you as always, my friend. Have a great rest of your week.
Thanks, guys. You too.
Sounds good, my friend. Hit that NFL sounder, please. What about Nate Davis, USA Today, to talk about the National Football League? Nate, how much trouble is Philadelphia in?
Yeah, I mean, it is starting to feel a little like 2023, Danny, where they got off to the hot start and didn't finish well. I've obviously had the terrible playoff loss in Tampa Bay. I think kind of the red flags were up a little earlier this year. But I think, this team also can pull out of it, too. They've got time. They are leaving the door open for the Cowboys the more games they continue to lose. But I think they'll get the playoffs. I'm just not convinced that they're going to make much noise once they're there.
AFC feels wide open, and it now looks increasingly like the Chiefs aren't going to make it. The Bills had a big win, but they're down in the sixth spot. If there's new blood that breaks through here, who would you see as the team to come out of the AFC?
I do grant look at this as like an opportunity for the Bills. If the playoff field kind of shapes up as to what it looks like right now, Josh Allen is pretty clearly, I think, the best quarterback in the field with no Lamar Jackson and no Patrick Mahomes. But I think strip that away, I think the team I wouldn't want to face right now is Houston. I think that defense is really something. Can beat up the best offenses. And I think their offense has room for some upper mobility, particularly if C.J. Stroud kind of gets his stuff together after missing a couple weeks there and kind of getting back on track. Obviously, he hasn't quite been the same player we saw the one rookie of the year in 2023. But, I think that offense is average or close to it. They can win a lot of games in January. So that's the team I'm looking at. And New England, I think, is another one, particularly if they wind up with home field advantage. And I think their schedule shapes up certainly better than Denver's on the way out here.
Nate, not a question, but Phil Rivers, oh, my God. Like, I can't believe this is where we are.
Yeah, I mean, this has been rumored for years that he might come back and help. even Riley Leonard got hurt a little bit on Sunday. They're hoping that he can play. But, you're still asking whoever's shooting up there to go – win a game at Seattle. So it's going to be a tough ask. And if there's been a player coach in the NFL, it's going to be Philip Rivers. But yeah, this is pretty wild that it came out of left field last night.
What's going on with the Tampa Bay Bucks? They're on Thursday Night Football with Atlanta coming up in a couple of days. They're tied for the division with Carolina. Baker Mayfield had gone back-to-back years where he was really good, and I was kind of slotting him into the top 10 among quarterbacks, and he probably belongs to be there. But he's been banged up and really struggled, just not playing at a high level. What do you see from them?
Yeah, I see a lot of guys banged up, Grant. I mean, Baker, they finally got Bucky Irving back. They're still trying to get some of their receivers back. I don't think Chris Godwin is fully healthy yet. Maybe they get Mike Evans back. But they've had issues along the line all year. I don't think Tristan Wirfs played on Sunday. And strip all that away, I think the defense has really kind of let them down in spots. Sunday's game was a little weird, I think, given the weather and both teams were playing on a muddy track. But the Bucs haven't been played well for a month. And I think Baker's been under 200 yards each of his last four games. And, I mean, he does have to drive that team, I think, offensively for that machine to go. The schedule for them isn't terrible going on the way out, but if they lose both their games to Carolina, play them twice in the next 4 weeks, the Panthers are going to win that division. So they're on thin ice there, Tampa Bay is.
Who makes the playoffs, Chicago or Detroit?
If that's my choice, Danny, I'm gonna say Detroit. They've got one more game coming up in Chicago. I think it's Week 18. The Lions beat the brakes off of them in Week 2, like 52-21. The turnovers are great. The running game is especially great in Chicago. I don't know that the turnover thing is necessarily a sustainable model. That stuff comes in waves and bunches, and it certainly has for the Bears this year. But I just feel like they have a component there with the passing game and much more diversity on offense against what's otherwise kind of an average defense. I think the Bears have done a great job in year one under Ben Johnson, but I don't think they're ready to beat the Lions. And I think, they've got the Lions, I want to say the Packers, the 49ers in the last 3 weeks. So a team that went from 1-7 on Sunday, I think is going to have a pretty steep hill to stay in that playoff bracket, into Week 19.
Obvious must win for them at home against Cleveland this week. Then they get Green Bay again, who they took to the brink, but Caleb Williams makes a bad throw there at the end. And then, as you said, San Francisco, Detroit for them. So going to be a tough road to drive. Appreciate the time as always, Nate. Thank you. Thanks, Nate.
Thanks.
All right.
Appreciate you,
brother. I don't know what happened there. Let's go to talk Commanders football. Look who's on the line. Our guy, Bill. Ja'Cory Kroski-Merritt on the Rude guest hotline. Bill, thanks for hopping aboard, man. How's it going?
What's going on? It's going good. How you doing?
Good, buddy. We were in Minnesota, dude. That was a tough one. Walk us through what was...
It was cold, by the way.
Yeah,
Bill.
It was cold outside. What was the vibe like on the sideline, man, during that game? It just seemed like nobody was having a lot of fun.
It definitely wasn't the game we thought it was going to be. So we was like, we need to tighten up real fast. So I think it was more of being locked in. We just couldn't find any momentum for real.
Bill, how does it work with the usage at running back? It seemed like early in the year it was kind of like carry here, carry there, and you guys running off the field. Now they're doing it more like quarters or halves almost. It was a lot of Rodriguez. I don't think you got a carry in the first half. Then the second half, you got a lot of work. You averaged almost 5 per carry and had some success. But are they trying to like give you guys full drives to get you in rhythm? How's it working?
I'm really not sure. And I'm not really trying to question it. I'm just there to do whatever they got planned for me and just do it to the best of my ability. And I trust them with what's going on. I just gotta, like, whenever I get my opportunity, I just gotta make the best of it. But they have a plan and know what's going on. So I just gotta just be ready when my number calls.
Makes sense. I'm curious because, like, for those of us that haven't played in the league, do you know going into a game, like, all right, I probably won't be in for the first couple drives? Or is it just you're standing there and then they yell a certain word or package or they just say, Bill, you're in? How does that actually work?
You'll never know. Just gotta be ready for whenever it's going. Whenever your number is called, it plays a lot of, like, how to flow up the game going. And things like that. So, you just got to be ready whenever your name is called. So, I really don't know how it's going to go going into a game, but, I trust my coaches, and you know, I'm happy to be here. And like, of course, I want to play, but I mean, they have a plan, so I definitely trust.
Bill, I always like to ask you, because this is, you know, such a long season. You're deep into December now, and it's, you know, more than you've played in some time, especially coming from college, et cetera. How's the body feel? How's the recovery? Just walk us through that.
Body feel good. Making sure I'm eating the right food. I feel like that's playing a big part of me, like, being able to stay healthy and, like, just standing in the training room, like, getting massages and, like, just doing all the small stuff so I can last this long season. I think I've been, like, approaching it the right way, especially, like, having the vets I have in my room, just seeing how they go about taking care of their body and, like, just try to follow the steps that they do.
Bill, I'm glad we have a player on from the team to discuss this because, as you know, one of the major talking points in town is the health of Jaden Daniels, and there's this argument as to whether or not he should play or not play. Even if he's cleared and he's healthy, maybe they should shut him down. Now, what's that like in the locker room as a player and just with other guys? Like, if you're cleared to play and the idea that maybe you'd be held out for next year or something like that?
I totally don't know or have no control over that situation, or know what's going on. But I know in the locker room, like, who's ever at quarterback, like, we just going to go out there and play and like just give our all and we still tight. Everybody's still gonna approach this week like any other game. Like, everybody's like, it's a brotherhood, and like you don't turn on each other when like stuff isn't going your way. So who's ever number up, we just got to be ready to attack the week and get ready to win a game Sunday.
Yeah, I want to ask you about that because that's pretty remarkable to me. That mm-hmm. you know, obviously the season hasn't gone the way that you guys would want, and you know it's 8 straight losses, but you guys still seem as tight as ever. How is that happening? How are you guys still kind of still able to be getting along so well?
That's the standard around there. I mean, everybody's brothers, and like, and if you're not in with the team, like that's the quickest way. That's the quickest way you're not going to be with us. So I mean, We all grind together, all the brothers, all spend time on and off the field. So, I mean, that's just a standard around there. Like, everybody's together. It's no bad energy. We know what we signed up for, and we just gotta stick together.
To that point, and as far as sticking together, I heard Sam Cosmi on our midday show earlier today talking about the fact that, you know, players still had Dan Quinn's back. Even though they've lost all these games in a row, and you're going to get a lot of negativity outside your walls, what would you say to that?
Yeah, nothing matters but the people in the room. Like, we the ones who got to go to war for each other, and like, we all in this together. And he's definitely our leader. And like, nobody would have anything bad to say about him. Like, great coach. And like, we all got each other back. It's the brotherhood that we in. So, I mean, everybody's locked in for sure.
Bill, always awesome to catch up with you, man. Have a great week, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right, appreciate you.
Be good, Bill.
Sounds good, dude.
Corey Kroski, Merritt of the Commanders, on our Beltway Blitz right here on Grant and Danny. Next, I want to get into the college football playoff field that is set and the consternation that it has caused for sports fans all over America right here on G&D.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing, even when I don't. And I like the sound of starting my own business, Walton Goggins Goggle Glasses. But I'm an actor. I don't know what I'm doing. I needed help. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. I didn't even realize I needed a social media calendar. GoDaddy Aero will take your idea that sounds good and make a business that looks like you know what you're doing. GoDaddy Aero can get your business up and running in minutes. You know what that sounds like? It sounds like a plan. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
Welcome back to Grant and Danny on the Fan. We'll take you up to 6:30, 2 hours from right now tonight on G&D. I wanted to get into the college football playoff field that got set over the weekend. In fact, while we were sitting in the stands in Minneapolis getting ready for kickoff of the Commanders and the Vikings, the field came out officially, and the JMU Dukes are dancing. They are in the NC2A college football playoff. Really cool. The 12 seed going to take on the 5 seed Oregon for local college football fans. But there is so much controversy and turmoil, as expected, with what happened. So to run through it, some of the stuff sorts itself out as the year goes on. Most of it does. Yep. Indiana plays Ohio State in the Big Ten Championship. And by the way, Kurt Cignetti, all he does is win. Google him.
Google him.
How amazing was that?
Beyond amazing.
For them to beat Ohio State and to go from... Like, everyone says Maryland could never overtake Michigan, Ohio State, and the Big Ten. They're just hoping to get to 8 wins. Indiana was in a way worse spot
than
Maryland.
They were worse than that.
And Cignetti comes in there and in a couple years has them number one in America going into the playoff with a bye and beating Ohio State in the Big Ten Championship. But then you got Georgia and Texas Tech and Oregon and Ole Miss without Lane Kiffin and some of the mainstays in the country this year. But the big debate at the back end of the field of 12, it's a 12-team playoff, was... If the ACC chaos developed and came to fruition, would that open the door for Tulane to be the 11 seed and for JMU to be the 12 seed? I think when it originally was developed as this, you know, rules for the playoff bracket, everyone always assumed it had to be the Power 5 conferences that got the auto bids. But there are 5 automatic bids for winning your college conference. The difference is it doesn't have to be the Power 5. It's just the 5 highest-ranked conference winners. And so in a year where the ACC's terrible and Virginia somehow plays Duke in the conference championship game, when Virginia lost and Duke was the conference champion, Virginia fell below JMU as the number 24 team in the college football playoff rankings. They're obviously well below Tulane. And so the five highest ranked automatic bids to conference champions get in. And Tulane and JMU got those automatic bids. Think NCAA tournament, where it doesn't matter if you're one of the 64 best teams in America. If you win the Danny Ruye conference.
Yeah, if you are under 500 in the Horizon East League and, right. and get hot and hit a buzzer beater, you're going. You're dancing. It's beautiful.
And so in JMU's case, that was not what they were. They were really good all year long. They won eight of their conference game by double-digit points. They haven't lost since week two. They're on an 11-game winning streak. They're 12-1, but they win the Sun Belt, which overtook the ACC, and they got the bid. That led to immense turmoil, though, because a two-loss Notre Dame is left out of the college football playoff. The debate for Notre Dame came down to at-large bids, basically. Them against Miami, BYU, you know, those types of non-conference champions that are all fighting for what was one spot instead of two or three. If Tulane, not a better team than Notre Dame, or JMU, not a better team than Notre Dame, didn't have to be in the college football playoffs, then you could have had Alabama in, who ended up getting an at-large bid. They were ninth. You could have had Miami in, who ended up getting an at-large bid. The last one, they were 10th. You could have had Notre Dame in. They would have been 11th. And maybe even, honestly, like, as a 12th team, you probably could have had to Texas. Something like that. Like, a really, really good team that lost three games, yeah. including a loss to Florida. But instead, they had to include, based on the rules, JMU and Tulane. And that's the debate now, Danny, is should these schools be included if you're only having a 12-team playoff? Or when you expand this thing a little bit to 16 or so, should you save a space in the playoffs for the little guy? This is what Paul Feinbaum of ESPN had to say about this very subject.
Yeah, well, it's time to get rid of the G5 schools. And I know how they got in there. It was a compromise. But America does not want to see Tulane, nor do we want to see James Madison in the college football playoff. This is great in the NCAA basketball tournament, Greeny. There are 68 schools. There are only 12 here, and we don't need them around. And I'm not going to give you the with all due respect, because I don't really care about Tulane or James Madison. They're both going to lose by 25 to 45 points. They'll be unwatchable games, and get them out of a playoff.
So that's Paul Feinbaum, who just wants to talk about how great the SEC is all day long on ESPN.
But yeah, he speaks, a millionaire by saying no one's going to beat Alabama.
He speaks for a lot of people like Ryan Clary when he says that. So here is the question. We can open up the phones on this at 800-636-1067. First of all, go Dukes, and congratulations to JMU. Is this the right collection of rules? Because for all the people, I'm texting with Clary leading up to this, and he's like, you can't put JMU in. I'm like, the rules say that the top five conference winners that are ranked get in. He's like, but you can't put them in. I'm like, there's a rule in place. You have to put them in. Well, you can't put them in. You hate the system or the rules. That's fine. But you can't change them midstream now. You can't say, well, the ACC sucked this year, so instead of having JMU get in representing the Sun Belt, we're not going to take the top five teams like we said we would that won their conference. That was always the rule. So the issue is now you're taking fewer of the at-large type teams that are really, really deserving in terms of being the best 12 in America. But do we like the idea, a la the NCAA tournament, that a JMU gets in to now possibly go be cannon fodder in Eugene, Oregon on December 2nd against Oregon? Do we like a Tulane-Ole Miss matchup? It feels a little more interesting because there's no Lane Kiffin in an 11-6 game on December 20th coming up. I think it's a December 2nd. On December 20th, these two games are going to be played. Is this the way it should be? Or should they just take the top 12 teams that we think have the best chance to win the national championship in America?
So I'm much older than everybody that's here, and I live in an era where the little guy was colluded against, was screwed. And I don't mean that hyperbolically. That was the policy. This was whatever the BCS, and before that, we just the voters just voted, and you had code number one sometimes, and all sorts of weird crap would happen, despite teams having better resumes or otherwise. The idea that they would play football against each other decided has been the most wonderful gift to those of us that still care about this broken and messed up sport. So the refusal to include Boise State, the refusal to include University of Central Florida at various times. In fact, the TCU made it to the national championship game just before they adopted this field. Now they got woodshedded by an unbelievable Georgia juggernaut.
Oh, that was such a blowout.
They made it to the national championship game. They didn't lose their way in there. They didn't back their way in. They weren't just assigned it, etc. They should aspire to be more like the most perfect sporting event we have, which is the NCAA basketball tournament. It's the best thing we have. We have mastered it. We kick everybody's ass around the world. They're all jealous of it. It's incredible. So including the little guy is perfect. The objections shouldn't be over somebody that did everything they possibly could have in a James Madison or a Tulane. The objection should be you've got Miami well behind Notre Dame for months. All of a sudden, they jump them in the final rankings. Notre Dame was ahead of Alabama, who had a middling performance against Auburn, who's 5-7. Alabama gets woodshedded by Georgia in their conference title game. Jumps over Notre Dame, and they're out. That should be where the objection is. Less so than having James Madison in the field, less so than having Tulane in the field. The little guy should absolutely be a thing to try to level this stupid, uneven playing field that's only getting more uneven because of NIL and the amount of money that these major mega programs can pour in. Hundreds of millions where the little guy can't do that. It should be a great success story. That's more fun, frankly, than an overrated, bloated Notre Dame team that's always overhyped. This group is actually pretty good, by the way. And I know they made it to the national title game not too long ago. But typically, they're ranked 8th in the country. They lose to Pitt and drop another game to, like, Stanford somewhere along the way. Northern Illinois gets them, but they still get a major bowl on NBC time. I've had enough of that. I want to see James Madison. So with all due respect to Captain Fun Sponge, Mr. Feinbaum, good afternoon, Mr. Feinbaum. Wrong. I do want to see that. The country wants to see that. That's special. I know the fans in the SEC get mad. They think everybody that has an SEC schedule should automatically go. It's not your birthright. Like, to me, room for the little guys, what makes amateur, it's still amateur to a degree, sports special. So, yeah, they absolutely belong. The flipping and inconsistent rhetoric, though, that's upsetting.
Yeah, so I think I've changed my mind on this a little bit over the years. I was more and have been, give me the best playoff games. I don't care who's in or who isn't. Give me, at the end of the year, who are the 12 best odds teams to win a national championship? Put them in the 12-team playoff, and let's have the best playoff possible. But why should you be so exclusionary? At the beginning of the year, why should all the other conferences other than the big boys not have any chance to win a national championship?
That's the point.
It's not fair. It's not correct. So I actually do like the automatic bids. I think it's reasonable. I would expect.
Because otherwise they'd be colluded against.
Yes.
Which has happened my whole life.
Happens all the time.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is that I think this year, and there's always going to be this situation, it was super complicated because you mentioned Alabama. Let me go there for a second. I think you had to put Alabama in. Because if you didn't put Alabama in, conference championship games are over as we know them. That's not a world I want to live in. In other words, Alabama accepts and goes and plays in the SEC title game. Teams that don't play in a conference championship game, that just stop their season with two losses, don't get to go play in the Big Ten, the SEC title game, whatever, just sit back and watch Alabama try to win a championship. And now you penalize them for playing one of the best teams in America, Georgia, in a conference championship game, and they get handled, and it's a third loss, and you go, see, now you don't get in. Why would anyone ever go play in an SEC title game again? If I'm going to get in by not playing in it with two losses, that's not the spirit of college football or what we should be doing. So you had to include Alabama, or else literally you're kissing conference championships and the power conferences goodbye forever. So I think that's a non-starter. Alabama gets in. Now, you could also say, by the way, correct me if I'm wrong, BYU played in a conference championship game. It was held against them.
Yeah.
Now, that's a little bit hypocritical.
Yeah, they got woodshedded by Texas Tech, who's real good.
I think Texas Tech beat them a little more handily, and I also just don't think, if we're being honest, I know everyone wants to make that the same argument, like analogous. BYU and Alabama are not the same. Alabama's a better football team. I think if they were favored,
I think so too.
Played on a neutral site, Alabama would be like an 8-point favorite or something.
Yeah, I think so too.
But if you want to say it was held against BYU, you're right. But I think particularly in the SEC with a team like Alabama, you cannot exclude them after they lose to Georgia because that would have been the final SEC championship game we've seen. I think that's bad for college football. And as a fan, it's not what I want. The Notre Dame-Miami thing's really interesting too. Notre Dame played Miami earlier this year, and they lost head-to-head.
Yes, they did.
Now, why was Miami behind them in the rankings after that for so long and then got leapt at the end when Notre Dame was ahead of them, and then Miami leaps them at the the very end to get in. I can't answer that. That you're right. I would be mad about that if I'm a Notre Dame fan. But if I'm debating these two teams with almost identical resumes, same record, very similar, and I won head to head over this team, you're going to let them in and me out?
I think it's not crazy.
When it came down to those two, it's a tie. It's not like anybody head-to-head ever gets in. It's not like if Duke had beaten my, Notre Dame, they would have gotten in over them. This was basically a tiebreaker where they literally played head-to-head and Miami beat Notre Dame. So I think in that case, you had to put Alabama in because you can't lose the SEC title game forever or conference championship games. You had to put Miami over Notre Dame because of the head-to-head in what was a tiebreaker. So I don't know what else they could have really done. I actually think, as crazy as it sounds, they actually got this right, even though someone got screwed.
So my response to Alabama is, it wasn't necessarily, to me, what it should have been is, they needed to win in the SEC championship game or have a good showing to secure their place because of their losses and their shaky resume.
But that's not where they were in the rankings. That's not how it would have been viewed, which is still damaging to the... Like, it was viewed going into the week, they are a lock to be in unless they lose and the committee holds that against
them. Which I thought was an incorrect assessment. I guess that's kind of my point. Like, again, I have no problem on a blind taste test challenge putting Miami ahead of Notre Dame. It's the fact that they weren't, and nothing changed.
That part
Miami didn't play in their league championship.
Yep.
Notre Dame's just sitting there minding their business as much of a lock as anybody. And all of a sudden, they drop down a whole bunch of spots despite Alabama barely eking out a win over Auburn, who's terrible, and then losing dominated against Georgia, and now Notre Dame's outside looking in.
The only thing I can think about this, and we'll take calls on this next, 800-636-1067, is that throughout the season, they were not pitting those two head-to-head directly. It was just, we're ranking everyone blind resume, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then at the end, it came down to one of these two teams get in, Miami or Notre Dame. And they had Miami ranked, one spot behind Notre Dame or whatever, and they go, well, wait a second. Are we really going to put... It's these two teams who are basically tied.
Yep.
And they played head-to-head and Miami beat them. That ends the conversation.
Had they been tied all season long and like there's a half spot between right. them or whatever, it'd make more sense to me. But it's the number of spots that Miami had to jump.
I can't explain that one. I'm not telling you it all makes sense. But I will tell you that I think they got it right.
Mm.
I think based on the system in place. Now, if you want to change the system, and that's the question, should JMU be able to get a seat at the table out of the Sun Belt? Because everyone thinks they're going to lose to Oregon by 30 points. Should Tulane be able to get in representing their conference in a year like this? That is a reasonable enough question, and we're going to hit that one on the phones next. Do you like that these smaller conference schools got the auto bids here, or would you have rather seen Notre Dame or, I think the better example might be like a Texas than an independent like Notre Dame, who had, played two losable games, they lost the two games, and then they woodshedded everybody else the rest of the year. 800-636-1067 is how you hop in on Grant and Danny.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
Yeah, well, it's time to get rid of the G5 schools. And I know how they got in there. It was a compromise. But America does not want to see Tulane, nor do we want to see James Madison in the college football playoff. This is great in the NCAA basketball tournament, Greeny. There are 68 schools. There are only 12 here, and we don't need them around. And I'm not going to give you the with all due respect, because I don't really care about Tulane or James Madison. They're both going to lose by 25 to 45 points. They'll be unwatchable games, and get them out of a playoff.
That's Paul Feinbaum of ESPN on JMU and Tulane making the college football 12-team playoff field with Notre Dame 10-2, Texas, and others on the outside looking in, including BYU. JMU in the last ranking that we got was 24th in the country via the playoff.
Yeah, so it's not like it's some tiny mid-major, you know, RPI number 77 or something crazy.
No, but if you were just taking the 12 best resumes,
they wouldn't be on it.
In theory, there's like 10 teams ahead of them maybe that got left out. But the rules are the rules. And it says that the 5 best conference champions get auto bids. And people have an issue with that. We want to get your thoughts. 800-636-1067. As a reminder, Friday show, we're back out and about. Friday field trip, we're going to be at Craft House in Fairfax.
Oh, we are back at Craft House. Yes, sir.
We love that spot. So come on out, Craft House Fairfax on Friday. Let's go to Tim in Arlington. What's up, Tim?
How's it going, Granddaddy?
Hey, buddy.
So I'm a Virginia fan, so, I mean, you can take this how you want. But
sorry, dude.
I personally, it's all right, you know. It happens. It was a great year. But, yeah, so the JMU, I think they deserve to be have a seat at the table. I mean, why do we play these games to begin with if there's not a chance for glory? Either they get into the playoffs, or they'll have to have some other tournament because, you know, they have a season just like any other team. And I think people want to watch those games. There's millions of fans of all those teams, and they have a chance to play. They have a chance to win. I mean, what type of storyline would it be if, like, just take the best teams and there's no chance for an upset? I think that's what college sports are really about.
100%.
What's the betting line, by the way? Someone looked that up for me. Oregon JMU opening line. I haven't seen it yet. What would you think? I'm guessing it's like 14.5 or 16.5.
Yeah, I would have said upper teens.
I think that's probably what it's
going to be. Oregon's nasty.
I disagree with Feinbaum, though, when he says nobody wants to see this. Does nobody want to see the 15 play the 2 in college basketball? Does nobody want to see the 14 play the 3? Are you crazy?
Yeah.
It's literally the whole point of the tournament. Everybody's rooting for the 3.
Nobody cared about Florida Gulf Coast until they did.
By the way, that's a bigger line than I thought. 21.5. Mm. I mean, so they're expecting just a woodshed game. Mm-hmm. JMU might cover that. I'll pick it. JMU's going to cover that number. Go to Kevin in Arlington. What's up, Kevin? How are you?
Hey, guys. Well, as a JMU graduate, I mean, Feinbaum couldn't be more of a fuddy-duddy, foggy-brained, foolish analyst. I mean, listen, here's the deal. They were saying mostly the same thing most of the season last year about the Indiana Hoosiers, who took our coach is on his staff, and 15 of our stud players, and showed the world they deserve to be there, and now they're the number one team in the nation, okay? And what did JMU do?
We immediately rebuilt, and we're back in the picture.
Yeah.
And so, you know, listen, a couple of things. It is, to use your analogy, Grant, about March Madness and expanding the tournament, it's in the best interest of college football to continue to expand the playoff. It's not JMU's fault that it's a field that's 12 and not 16 or whatever, but it's important to let mid-majors grow their programs and eventually have something that's more akin to what you have in March Madness, where you have not 12 teams, maybe you got 24 teams. And JMU has historically, in football and other sports, been able to handle the David role and the David versus Goliath matchups. It's happened many times. For you all, this is the best example I can give. We drew North Carolina in March Madness in the spring of 82, the Michael Jordan, James Worthy team, and we almost beat them. We scared the daylights out of them. They beat us by three. And when Billy Packer, while the Carolina Tar Heels are cutting down the nets, interviews Worthy, he starts with, "We owe JMU a lot of credit for this win because they got our minds right and got us going."
Well, I love that.
Yeah, I love that. Good story.
Appreciate you, Kev. And there's plenty of football examples before they made the leap into the Sun Belt, where whether it was Tech or any of these other games that they played, you know, they were a powerhouse at their division. And then they go up to the Sun Belt, and they've been a buzzsaw. I like giving these teams a seat at the table. It could fix itself if you go to 16 teams, and then you keep the system as it is.
The argument will always be like the 17th team that didn't get in. There's always going to be somebody that's going to grouse, but it's better.
Down the board you go, it does get better, because now 100%. We're talking about the team being upset has four losses. You know, and it's like, get over yourself.
Exactly. I mean, there are plenty of teams. Like, if we're doing the best 12, I'd argue that Vanderbilt belongs in there. The two SEC losses. Their schedule much tougher than a lot of these teams. You already mentioned Texas. There's plenty of great teams to go around, but I don't think that's exactly the point here. At the highest level of it, your teams that have byes reflect the best resumes in the country. After that, there should be a little bit of mix and match. The oddity of the matchup is part of the allure to me.
Should teams like JMU have a seat at the table if they don't expand to 16? Yes or no? 800-636-1067. Also, did the committee do the right thing, in your opinion? Notre Dame out, Alabama in, Miami in. Why did Miami leap them at the end? We'll finish up this conversation. I want to get back into Jaden Daniels and whether or not he's going to play on Sunday. We'll do all of that to kick off the 5 o'clock hour next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing, even when I don't. and I like the sound of starting my own business, Walton Goggins Goggle Glasses. But I'm an actor. I don't know what I'm doing. I needed help. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. I didn't even realize I needed a social media calendar. GoDaddy Aero will take your idea that sounds good and make a business that looks like you know what you're doing. GoDaddy Aero can get your business up and running in minutes. You know what that sounds like? It sounds like a plan. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at AboutAmazon.com.